Why don't you just take a stand-up break? Let's just stand up. We're getting a little blood circulation move around. You know, our brain functions just increased 20 to 40% because our circulation's moving around. All right. Woo, feels good, doesn't it? Okay, now you can sit down because you're about to start greeting one another, and we know that'll take like 15, 20 minutes to get you back. Who's in the gap? We're going to have a little bit of an exercise today. So you came to the right place, and I just want you to know that right now, because we're going to have for some of you is going to be a little bit of a heat experience, because you're going to have to talk to people that maybe you don't know and maybe you didn't come with, but it's going to be good, and we're going to learn a lot. Ezekiel 37:8. I looked, and behold, there were sinews upon the bones, flesh came upon them, and skin covered them over, but there was no breath or spirit in them. You know, if we had time to really dig into the content, we could take a look at some really interesting word studies in verse 3 in particular. Because the image that you get when you go to your concordance is not just that God set the prophet down on the ground in the midst of the bones, but it sounds a whole lot like he's hovering around and over. He's getting a bird's eye view, and one of the words that's actually used twice in this passage gives you the impression that he's looking from every angle. So we as leaders, we have to constantly be monitoring the culture on our staff, the culture in the hallways on Sunday morning and on Wednesday night. It's interesting that I'm officed in our Sherman location, and it's interesting to see the cultural dynamics between Wednesday night and Sunday morning. They have a little bit different feel. There's something going on with that group that comes in. So, you know, when we go into the hall on Sunday morning, we're not just shaking hands and giving people hugs. We're kind of hovering over this thing and seeing, you know, what's happening in that coffee shop. What's the level of conversation that's taking place? You know, you can tell something about a church culture if you get there 15 minutes early and you see that the halls are vacant. And then you turn around two songs into the praise and worship set, and now everybody's there. And then before the preacher can say, amen, God bless you, at the conclusion of the service, it's like, pfft. But isn't it something that when you have that, you have the presence of God moving on people's hearts and relationships are really beginning to take place, how people linger in the presence of God? Well, that's a cultural element. Well, the prophet's able to get a bird's eye view over this. And when it says that there was no breath, figuratively, of course, we're talking about life. There was no life in this. You know, so if, well, we have to take a look at our culture, because everything comes down from the top. You're not going to have a better culture in the congregation. You're not going to have deeper water in the congregation than you have in your leadership team. So this, everything starts with the campus leadership team. If the campus leadership team is not having fun, if they're not having the time of their life doing what they're doing, I can almost guarantee you, you'll never in that circumstance be able to get enough volunteers to help you take care of whatever it is you need to take care of on your campus. There's something appealing about seeing a group of people who really are flowing in the joy of the Lord. They're in their spot. They honor one another. They love coming to work with one another. That team unity, there's something attractive about that. People want to get in on that. People want to be a part of that. So when we say that we have fun as one of our values, that means that when we get together, we have fun. And our meetings aren't dry. They're not boring. And there's sometimes that we're just gonna take this whole group and we're gonna do something fun. Maybe this Christmas. I don't know what we're planning on doing, but it'll be fun. Amen. Thank God for fun. So you know what? This is kind of an interesting thing. If you follow through with Ezekiel 37, there's prophecy going on and rattling and bones and there's motion. And But still, everything came together and there was no life. First thing God told the prophet to prophesy was prophesy that breath is coming into this bunch. Life's coming into this bunch. But it's the last thing that actually takes place with this group of people that become an army. Now, watch this. This is kind of interesting to me. Everything comes together. The bones come together. And the breath gets blown. And the first thing the people do, the army stand up and say, we're dry bones. Our hope is gone. And our nation is finished. So think about that. You put all this work into culture, and then you still have people that rise up one day and don't have family values. Or you rise up and say, hey. We actually had somebody leave one of our campuses because there was laughter taking place, you know, and pastor was preaching, and you know how he is, and he always using humor, and they left because there was too much laughter, and somebody talked to him about it, and they found out what that, you know, that's why they left. So I wouldn't have said that to him, but I was thinking, hey, there's the door, and we're probably glad you left. We probably need to edit that out. Can we do that? I want to interject this because the conversational dynamic of leadership is something that I've never really heard people talk about, but I've seen it in action. And for some reason or other, this clicks with me. You can influence culture whether you have a title or position. It's regardless of that. You carry a certain culture with you that's a personal culture, and hopefully you're involved in a business or ministry where that fits and that makes sense. And let me give this caution. The fact that you're a strong-willed individual, the fact that you have a strong personal culture does not give you license to impose that culture on another ministry if you're not the lead man or woman in that spot. Okay, so I have to watch over what I'm about to tell you. But the conversational dynamic of leadership means that you can interject into a conversation, you can interject a question, or you can redirect somebody even lovingly with the word that causes them to think in an entire different dimension. I can guarantee you this, if you can ask a question that no one else is thinking about in your leadership team or in your context, in your business meetings, if you can interject a question no one else is thinking about, you can direct the ministry without ever saying, this is the way we're going to do it. I'm the boss, and you're going to do what I say. You don't have to do that. If you learn that even with just within conversation, you're planting seeds that are going to reap results, positive or negative, in the future, then you can determine what seed you're going to plant. And this is not your style, this is my style. I find that I get a lot more mileage by just operating conversationally and beginning to share vision and talk about what can be, either individually or in the group dynamic. It's a conversational dynamic of leadership. We need to dive some more into that at some time, but we don't have time today. One of the things we have to do is we have to make sure that we have a culture that can sustain whatever it is that we're wanting to do. If you're going to become an outreach-driven church, but your leadership team isn't into getting out of the four walls, they don't witness to people, they're not personal soul winners, you're not going to be able to sustain something that your leadership team does not have a culture built around already. In other words, if you want to go there and God directs that, then what you have to do is you have to start with you and you have to start with the leadership team to develop that culture within yourselves. Amen. Thank you for that one amen, Pastor. I appreciate you. All right. Now, here's where we're going to get into a little bit of a heat experience. For those of you who are online, Pastor Craig is going to lead your group. And we have people online from about a dozen countries. So let's give our online congregation a big God bless you. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to have to do it really quickly. But I'm going to give you a couple of things to think about. I'm going to ask you to get in a small circle, three or four people around you, beside you. You'll discuss that. Somebody act as a scribe and record that. And then we're going to have a spokesman from, I don't know, maybe about 8-10 groups. We'll have a spokesman come up to the mic. And then Pastor Jacob's going to come up in a minute. We're going to whiteboard this. This is something that we do a lot. If you've been through the leadership development program at Victory Life, you help the people around you, okay? All right. So here's what we want to talk about or think about for a few minutes. What's the difference between something that's living and something that's dead? Okay, so it's not rocket science. Don't over-spiritualize it. Just what's the difference between something living and something dead? Another way we'll think about this, what's the difference between something healthy and something that's unhealthy? Okay, so you got that? What's the difference between something that's living and something that's dead, something that's healthy and something that's unhealthy? Let's take about 5 minutes, break into your group. If you don't have to get up and move around, don't, because we don't have a lot of time. But let's take that 5 minutes right now. Those of you online, Pastor Craig is going to lead your group, and then we'll bring it back to the main group. Okay, let's take about one more minute to wrap up your comments. Then we'll be bringing it back to the group. All right. The person that scored the highest on their discs test in the D category, dominant, has been the one leading your group. And so they might want to appoint a spokesman if they haven't already decided they're going to be the spokesperson. So I think we have time for 8 if we move pretty quickly. So let me have 8 volunteers, 4 that will line up on behind either of these mics here in the middle section. Thank you. Okay, I need 3 more that'll quickly, and we're going to have to move pretty quickly. All right, I think we have them. We've got them. And unfortunately, we don't have time for all of us to preach, but we want to list. Let's do this. Let's list your top 3. Let's list your top 3, and we'll start here. To the mic on the right.
Okay, under healthy, we have it grows, it reproduces, it nourishes.
Perfect, awesome, thank you. Did you get that, Pastor Jacob? It grows, it reproduces, it nourishes.
Yes.
All right, we're only going to have time for 3 because we have, like, very brief time.
Okay, on dead, we have no motion, stagnant, it stinks.
Oh, man. I'm have to stifle some jokes on that. Okay, let's do this. Let's go ahead and give somebody else an opportunity. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. Were you going to go with healthy and unhealthy? Yeah, let's go ahead and thank God for her.
Some of those are the same, so I'll pick different ones.
Thank you.
We have longevity for healthy, vision, and vibrant.
Very good. Let's go to the other line.
We had breath, growth, and movement.
Breath, growth, and movement.
No breath, stagnant, and no movement.
Okay. Let's give them a chance to catch up. No breath, already have stagnant, no motion. All right.
Something that's healthy requires attention. Something that's dead, you ignore it. Something that's healthy attracts life, and something that's unhealthy reflects or deflects life.
Okay, good. Excellent. Thank you. You guys are so kind. Go ahead. If you're going to clap, really encourage it. That's good. That's one thing leaders do. Hey, we're going to celebrate everyone that comes up to that mic. We talk about how we do it here. Anyway, yes, sir. We're going to celebrate you when you're finished. We're going to do a better job. I promise. We'll do a better job.
Thank you. Healthy or living, it can reproduce. It grows, and there's movement. Unhealthy, It's not full of potential, no potential, no longevity, and no energy.
All right. Wow.
I'm going to touch on only the healthy and living, and we have, we're going to add to it the functions and multiplies.
Functions and multiplies. Excellent. Thank you.
For healthy, we put prospering, and for the unhealthy, we put unbearing.
Unbearing, like bears no fruit. Okay, gotcha.
For the healthy and living that you don't already have up there, we're going to add maturity, so the ability to produce.
Okay.
And then on the unhealthy, we have something that you don't have there is mutation. In other words, you're developing areas that aren't healthy for you that create division. So sometimes, for instance, if you're focusing on an area that's not going to benefit you, like yeah. gossip, you know, your life group is full of gossip instead of building up, you know, things like that.
Yeah. This was the deep group. This was very deep.
Yeah. And so basically developing things that aren't healthy. And so division is on that as well. So.
Excellent. Thank you.
Trying to find some that we don't have yet. For health, let's see, for dead, toxic. And then for something healthy, full of energy, colorful, and vibrant.
Did you have some more? Okay, very good.
So for healthy, we put healthy things grow, and which speaks to change. So healthy things change. And then unhealthy hinders, so hinders the life.
Excellent. Great job. Give yourselves a big round of applause. I didn't see where Pastor Craig went. We were gonna get some input from online. Are you? Yes, sir. Pastor Craig, do you have some input from the online community? Here he comes.
There was just one that I really thought was pretty good, and that was from Dana. She says that unhealthy makes you question and doubt, which I thought was other than that we had pretty much everything.
Pretty much the same.
Yeah.
Okay, very good. Thank you. God bless the online campus. All right, so let's take a look at the board. Healthy things grow, they reproduce, they nourish. There's longevity, vision, vibrant. There's movement. It requires attention, and it attracts life. It functions, it multiplies, it's prospering, it's maturing, it's full of energy, colorful, vibrant, growing, changing. Healthy things grow, healthy things change. On the unhealthy, dead side, there's no motion. Things are stagnant, they stink. There's no movement, no attention, no potential, no energy. Unbearing, decomposing, division, toxic, actually hinders life and growth, makes you question and doubt. Now, here's the question to you as a leader or business person. Which column most represents your church or your business? Are you enjoying or enduring the fruit of the culture that you have? I don't know about you, but I want to enjoy what I do. I want to enjoy the church that I have. We want to create something that our families will be blessed by, that our kids will want to be a part of. Generations that we will not directly see will be affected by what we do. And most of the time, the decisions that we make and the actions that we take, we don't actually see the real fruit of them until a lot of time has passed. So we're making decisions today that are going to create not only culture for today and for the now, but it'll affect culture for generations to come. So I think we have to make sure and think about that, because the actions we take, the habits that we develop, are creating culture within our families, within our businesses. And we have to determine, do we want to eat the fruit that's going to develop from the actions that we take? Because everything we do speaks, from the way we arrange our offices, to the way we design buildings, to the way we have meetings. So if culture is going to change, people have to change, starting with the behavior of the leadership team. Because when it comes down to it, culture is what leaders do, and it comes out of who they are. Who's in the gap? Well, you and I as leaders are in the gap. We guard the culture. We have to divert things. We have to make corrections. We have to make sure that we guard and we tend the garden of culture if it's going to stay. Otherwise, what happens in our ministries and our businesses is things spiral to a place where we don't even recognize them anymore. But if we tend to culture, we can multiply and grow. Just think about this. We can still have a Victory Life church in places Pastor Dwayne hasn't physically been, or where he doesn't know the leaders personally, if we get this culture piece right. And if growth and expansion is what we feel like is going to take place, then it makes sense that culture is where we drive a stake and we determine this is our culture, this is what we live and breathe for. Amen?
Amen. Amen.